So you're all very welcome to our Connect service this morning. And if you're here for the first time, you're especially welcome. If you're visiting us, and we also want to welcome everybody who's joining us online at home from different places right across the world. And we're delighted this morning to have with us as our speakers, Andrew and Joanne Quill. And Andrew and Joanne are our Link mission partners who work with CMS Ireland in the Diocese of Ibba in South Sudan. And over the past year, we've been thinking in our Connect service about different values or principles that are important in the life of our church. And one of those principles is the principle of mission and reaching out and sharing our faith beyond these walls. And so it's wonderful that Andrew and Joanne are with us this morning. You're very, very welcome. And we hope that you'll have the opportunity at the end of the service, maybe to have a chat with them after our service is over and after what they've shared with us today. So hopefully on the way in, you'll have seen as well the notices for the week that is to come. Because of the bank holiday tomorrow, there are no toddlers. And also to mention, most of our other regular activities are happening throughout the week. So we've got crafters on Tuesday and pickleball, and on Wednesday we've our midweek service with prayers for those who are sick. And then on Thursday, the Mothers Union are meeting this week at 7:30, and also our parish prayers take place over Zoom at 7 on Thursday evening. Next Sunday services are Holy Communion at 9, Holy Communion at 11, and the service of Compline at 7. So as we gather together this morning, we're conscious that we come to church often with different things on our minds and in our heads, depending on what's happened in the week that is past. And it's good to sometimes just slow down and to bring all those things that are part of our lives into God's presence as we gather together. So we're going to do that in our opening prayer, which you'll see on the screen. And we're going to just invite God to come and be present with us as we worship him together. We pray together, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. And as we seek to do that together as a community, we're going to sing our first song, a song of praise, Be Lifted High.
Consuming fire, you're the reason why we're singing for your glory. We will
going to invite you to take your seats. And we're coming now to the part of our service where we just pause and we remember those times when maybe we haven't been the people we would like to be. And maybe there are things that we've said and done and thought that if we were to do them again, we might wish we had done them differently. And so we're going to take the opportunity to say sorry in our lives to God, assured of his desire to offer his pardon and peace to us when we approach him in that spirit of wanting to say sorry. So we're going to share together in the prayer, which you'll see on the screen, as we offer our sorrow and repentance to God. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbors as you've commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we think of the hope that Jesus offers us and the hope that we want to share across the world, that's the theme of our next song, which we're going to sing together, Across the Lands.
You are leading sinners home. You're the only
And if you'd like to be seated, I'm going to invite Brian to bring our Bible reading for this morning. Going to just sing a song as we prepare for our Bible reading, and we're going to sing Shine Jesus Shine, and during this song the children are going to leave us for Sunday school.
Apologies to one and all.
The reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Here ends the lesson. So let's respond to our reading as we stand together to declare our faith in God. We believe.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you'd like to take your seats again. As we think today about the topic of mission as being one of those values that are really important in the life of our church, recently we had a number of people from the church who attended a conference that was run by the Church of Ireland as a whole, thinking about the topic of reaching out and of church growth and of looking to ways in which we might connect with the community around us. So I'm going to invite Barbara and Gillian and Brian, if they might come to the front. I'm going to just ask a few questions really about that conference so that they might share a little bit about what happened there. So I don't know if they're happy to come over this way. So Brian, you're going to go first, is that right?
It's all right.
When we were at this conference, which took place in the Stormont Hotel in Belfast, there were a number of seminars that were held. And Brian, can you tell me what seminar did you go to?
Yes, I went to a number of seminars, but one in particular that I want to talk about this morning is on the whole area of communication, how we as a church communicate with other people, communicate with each other internally, but also communicate with those outside of the church. Do you just want me to just carry on and communicate?
Go ahead.
So there were two clerics who spoke at that seminar. One was Archdeacon Jim Cheshire from Ballybean, from the parish of Ballybean, and the other was Reverend Mark Lennox, who's the rector in Donaghcloney in Murrainstown. Jim shared how, as a parish, they really took upon themselves to how they were going to rebrand their church in terms of its communication, not rebrand it in terms of its message, but in terms of its communication. And they actually got external people to come in and look at how they are portrayed to the community around them. So they looked at the material they use, their flyers, their website, their Facebook, all sorts of communication, and tried to brand it into one clear message that would help those outside of the church to know that this communication is coming from St. Mary's. Any communication that they get, they would know by the colour of the leaflet, by the branding, etc., that this was coming from St. Mary's Church.
And Brian, as part of the conference, different churches shared ideas about things that they were doing to reach out to the community. And I'm wondering, of all the ideas that you heard, what was the one that really caught your imagination?
I suppose the simplest way through that particular seminar in terms of communicating with people was how we welcome people in church and how we, just the welcome and hospitality. You could go to great lengths in terms of communicating with people and getting people to come in. But if the first thing that they see coming through the door is not a very happy face, who are you? We don't want to know you. I think for me, that was re-emphasizing the need for us as a church to go really out of our way to welcome people. And also, not just to welcome people, but also, I know this is something that myself and my wife have done. We haven't done so much recently, but we have done in the past, is to invite people to our home for a meal. And I think that says a lot to people, is that if you're welcoming and you're willing to open up your home to somebody, then I think that helps people understand that you're interested, you care for them, and that you have something to share with them. So those are some of the takes that I took from that seminar on communication.
Brilliant. Thanks, Brian. I'm going to invite Gillian to come up next. Gillian, what seminars did you attend when you were at the conference?
I attended Growth Through Stewardship, Growth Through Community Engagement, and Growth Through the Bible, which is the one I want to talk about. The message from the outset was clear. If we want to see growth, then the Bible must be our number one priority. It needs to govern absolutely everything that we do. And we need to find ways of helping people of all ages, from the youngest to the oldest, encounter scripture. That means thinking creatively about access, how we get the Bible into people's consciousness and into their hands and even into their homes. To give you one example, the seminar leader shared that at community events in his church, they used disposable cups with Bible verses on them. That might seem a bit gimmicky, but who knows how God might use something so simple to plant a seed in someone's life that would lead to faith. Among other things, we were also challenged to think about how we use our buildings. In the church space, we're used to the Bible being present through preaching and liturgy and music and even through our stained glass windows. But what about somewhere like this hall? How might we use it so that the groups who come here each week, the toddlers, the crafters, Pilates and so on, are exposed to scripture, especially those with no real connection to church? At the moment, it's a blank canvas, but perhaps that's the challenge before us. It was really a very thought-provoking seminar.
And of those ideas, Gillian, that you heard where churches were doing different things, was there any that particularly struck you that was good?
Yes, Karen Salmon, well known to many of us here in St. Vinian's, is now rector of Macaralley and Anaclone, two small churches just outside Banbridge. Along with her team, she's been doing some imaginative outreach, and they're seeing real growth as a result. They run big breakfasts and, like us, alpha courses. But they've also tried some more unexpected things, a menopause cafe, for example, and even a wine tasting evening in the rectory. All of it designed to create space where people feel comfortable enough to come in, connect, and begin to explore faith. One particular success has been their use of country gospel music to help plant a new church family in that rural area. On a typical Sunday, around 28 might gather in church. But for country gospel worship, that number rises to about 60. Her takeaway was simple, but I think very powerful. Be open to soft entry points. Be open to soft entry points, even country gospel music.
So, Barbara, you went to some seminars as well. What ones did you go to?
Well, I went to prayer, the Bible, and worship. And it's worship that I will speak a little bit about. There was two people that spoke. There was the Reverend Peter Thompson, who's musical director and Archdeacon of Armagh. And he combines his career as cleric and a musician. He talked about coming from high church into a country parish at one stage. And he said this was a very basic little choir in this church. And his aim was to get them jizzed up and be able to sing anthems and canticles. And he worked hard at that, he said. And eventually he got some semblance of a good choir. And then he left that church and he said that this little choir sort of went back to its own original state. But he talked about the context, really, about finding out what works, you know, the words, what and why we are sharing. The praise should be to God and not to ourselves, and it's biblical. He also said that the tunes are memorable, and for us who were brought up as traditional in the churches that we belong to, yes, the tune is very important because we do remember tunes and put it together with the words. And he then learnt that he had to listen to what the people were saying, and he was very interesting. Then James Turner, who is a worship leader, he spoke, and I actually love worship songs. I think I should have been born in Africa, to be honest. I do like both traditional and worship, but James Turner, he spoke. He is a team leader connected to the hub beside Queen's University, and he's also head of the worship for New Wine Ireland. And for those who don't know it, New Wine have an amazing conference every year in Sligo, which I would go to, and it's my fix of worship music and raising your hands and doing all the things that maybe in traditional churches we don't get a chance to do. In saying that, I love both. I love both forms of worship. And James talked about one day he was at a parish and he was leading the worship, and at the end of it, an elderly lady came up and she pointed her finger in his face and she said, "That was dreadful." And he said, "Whoa." So his then fiancée, he said, "Will you take her for a wee cup of coffee?" So long story short, she took her for the coffee. They became friends, invited her to their wedding. And she actually has, you know, she enjoys, but wouldn't say she's going to be into raising her hands in worship. So he says it's not the who, but the how of worship.
And what of those things that you attended, what idea was the one that you thought
well,
was interesting?
The one that I enjoyed so much was Ross Barrett. He's a pioneer leader for Cook, Serve, Pray and Repeat. And food's always a good thing to get people in, as Brian mentioned. He was a chef by training and he worked in Cambodia and Kenya before joining the pioneer team in the Church of Ireland in Waterford. And he said his mission was to get people out of the pews and go into the community. And there was a working class estate near him. And he took his team and made lovely food. And you can imagine if he's a chef, your food must have been good. And he said the people came and it was an opportunity for him to spread the gospel. And the people said to him, "Why do you do this? Nobody remembers it. No, we're unimportant." He said, "No, you're not. You're important to God." So he has then started up a Bible study and these people are coming to Christ, which is amazing. And then the other person was his food related as well, which I thought I would put in with it, was Danny O'Brien from Crinkin Church in Dublin. And she spoke about having a coffee truck, and she brought that into the church grounds two or three times a week with lovely coffee, and it gave people the opportunity, if they wanted to have someone pray with them. And everybody loves a cup of coffee, and everybody loves food. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So lots of creative ideas and lots of things to think about there. And as we think about those things, we're going to sing that song which we were learning as our service started, Rise with the Sun.
There's a song that sung through the nations of joyful thanks to the King, where the countless saints who are rescued praise Jesus who set them all free. Hear the anthem sung in the islands where sun first touches the earth. See if it passes, now joined by the saints of this church. Rise with the sun, lift up his name, all through the earth we sing out his praise. East to the west, night to the day, join in the song and sing out his praise. Voice to the chorus of many people and tongues, for we share the gift of salvation and share in the life yet to come. Rise with the sun, lift up his name, all through the earth we sing out his praise. East to the west, sing out his praise.
you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite Andrew and Joanne to come to the front now. And Andrew and Joanne are going to speak on the topic of mission today. They're coming back in September. They're going to share a little bit more when they come back in September about their life in Ibba. But I'm going to hand over to them now, and you're very, very welcome.
I was reminded that in Zandit, Jaja, that's holy, Jaja Toro, Holy Spirit. So let's pray to Jaja Toro Mboli, Holy God, and Yesu. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you'd speak to us now through your word and by your spirit. I pray you guide Andrew and I as we share with everyone this morning, that, Lord, you would stir our hearts towards you and be open to what you want to say to us, to all of us here this morning, and those listening online as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have the first slide up, maybe. So I don't know if any of you have been, about 3 miles south of Newcastle, there's a sculpture there, and it looks like this. If we can get the... Move on. Oh, nope. Other way. Yeah, that way. Anyone seen that? Andrew and I, we were driving down, and we're like, what is that? It's like two legs sticking up out the ground, like two big rocks. And we were thinking, what on earth is it? And so then we went into the car park there, and then it tells you to stand on a particular spot. And when you stand on that spot, you get the artist's perspective. And you see that what he was trying to show, a smuggler's, the silhouette of a smuggler's face. So when you stand in that spot, you get the artist's perspective. And that's kind of like what I think about as us with us. Like, God is our creator. He's the artist. He's the one who made us. And when you come to faith in him, it's like the scales drop off your eyes, or you have that sort of moment when your eyes are opened and you see the world differently. You see things from a kingdom perspective. We move on to the... And we read in 2 Corinthians 5:16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So we no longer regard things from a worldly point of view, but we see things from a kingdom perspective, from God's perspective. I'm going to hand over to you.
So what does that look like? Well, when we read, if you read on in that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, we read this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That we as Christians, now that we've come to faith in Christ, we have a mission. And that mission is to give the message of reconciliation, to tell people all that Jesus came to do for us. That he died so we would live. He died and took the punishment that was rightfully ours so we could be reconciled to God. The way that we often refer to it is like this here, that Isaiah 59 verse 2 says that our sins have separated us from our God. They've hidden his face from us so that he cannot hear. And so this barrier of sin separates us from God. But Jesus came and took our sin upon himself. And so when he rose from the dead, that was the real sign that that had been paid. As Jesus says, it is finished. It is done with. And so now the way is open for us to come back to God, to be reconciled to God. And we try and say to people that the good way to think about the gospel is God, man, Jesus, you. God's plan was perfect, but we failed. Man went away from God. Then Jesus is God's solution to the problem of sin. And then you, what's your response? The gospel is simple, isn't it? But we often struggle when it comes to sharing our faith. We sometimes think, well, that's for those who've got a collar on, that's for those who are missionaries, but it's for everyone. Everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ, anyone who calls themselves a Christian, We're meant to be those who share our faith. And imagine if every person who called themselves a Christian shared their faith with others, the world would be reached very quickly. But the problem is, we often have wrong thinking that stops us from sharing our faith. And so I'm going to give you four reasons to share our faith, which tackles some of the wrong thinking that we have in our mind. And the first thing is plentiful. We're told the harvest is plentiful. Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We heard about the Bible and the power of the Bible in terms of reaching people. I don't know if you know that in the past, from 2019 to 2025, there has been a 106% increase in the sale of Bibles. Okay, and that's in the UK. There's also been an increase in the south of Ireland as well. And in just 2025, that is 2.75 times the average of the previous years. So there's been even a greater increase in 2025. There are people who are hungry for the Word of God. And so often what we think is people out there, they don't want to hear. But actually, that's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. There are those who are out there who do want to hear the gospel. But the problem is, as Jesus says, the workers are few. We don't go, and therefore people don't hear. When I was working for University and Colleges Christian Fellowship in the early 1990s, we challenged those in Christian unions to think about the most unlikely people to come to faith and to pray for them. And they did. And there were several of those who they thought would never come to faith who came to faith because they prayed for them, they took opportunities when they came, and they witnessed to people. And you see, the problem is that we often, the enemy tells us we don't know enough. And so, therefore, we don't witness to people because we're afraid of the questions that they may ask us. But what we know from the scriptures is that if we share a faith, we will acquire more understanding. This is what we read in Philemon 1, verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So as you share your faith, you come to understand more about your faith. So the enemy will say you don't know enough, but actually if you want to know more, you share what you know and God will give you more understanding. So that's the challenge. If you want to acquire more knowledge, share what you know. Jesus says to his disciples who were unschooled, ordinary men, freely you have received, freely give. As they shared, as they went out, they saw the power of God. And they came back and they were saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. But Jesus reminded them, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We have to have that right perspective. But they saw the power of God, even though they were unschooled, ordinary men. But as we read later in Acts, that the thing that those religious leaders took note that they'd been with Jesus. So if you want to be effective in witnessing for Jesus, you need to keep close to him. It's your relationship with Jesus and how close you are that actually makes you salty. If you read what it says in Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Often people get caught up with what the salt is used for, but actually it's about whether or not the salt is useful. It's whether or not it's salty. If we want to be salty, we have to stay close to Jesus. That's what makes us, as Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. If we want to be hot, we need to stay close to Jesus. That's what makes the difference. That's what made the difference in the disciples, and it's what will make the difference for us. The third thing is we're resourced. Jesus says this to the disciples, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, everywhere in the world. And the Holy Spirit did come upon them in Acts chapter 2, And we see that the Spirit was, they saw that it looked like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest in each of them. And the interesting thing is that it was their tongues then that were released. They started praising God in known languages. That's not the language of angels, that's the language of men, so that people could hear them praising God in their own language. And then we see again in Acts chapter 4, when they were told not to speak about Jesus, what do? They pray that God would give them boldness to speak about him. And then we read at towards the end of chapter 4 that then the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. So when we are lacking boldness, all we have to do is pray and ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And he will give us the boldness to speak in his name. We are resourced. And we have to begin with our Jerusalem. Wherever we are, that's our Jerusalem. But we need to be also be aware of our Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, all at the same time. And so we can, even though maybe you're not going, like we've gone somewhere else, but you need to be witnessing where you are. And perhaps at some stage the Lord might tell you to go beyond where you are. But we need to be praying for beyond, that the Holy Spirit will call people beyond to the harvest, wherever that is. We believe that every life in Christ is a missionary, and every life without Christ is a mission field. And so we need to be witnessing where we are. But we need to be open to the Lord calling us to beyond and pray for those who do go beyond too. And the last thing is thanksgiving. And we read in at the beginning of that passage, we read that for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, before we came to faith, it was all about me. But when we came to faith, maybe we thought it was about me and him. But actually, as we grow as a Christian, we realize it's not about me and him. It's about him and them. It's those outside who don't yet know Jesus who we're meant to be focusing on. And we're meant to be living for Christ. At that passage that I looked at the beginning, where it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone who represents the country that they're from, living in an alien country. They're meant to speak the words of the leader of that country. We're referred to as ambassadors for Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter that we're aliens, we're strangers in this world. So our citizenship is in heaven. We're meant to represent Jesus, to speak the words that he gives us to say, which is why at the end of that passage, what does Paul say? We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're meant to be those who are the lips of Jesus speaking to those around us. I want to get five people up to the front just to do a little illustration of what the church should look like, but often what the church is like. So five people just to come up here, and just we're going to do a very quick demonstration. It won't be embarrassing. So five people to come up in the front and stand in a circle looking inward, okay? Okay, yep. That's five. Okay, so if you stand in a circle looking inward, okay? Now, if you know the armor of God, it is clear that the part of our body that is least protected is our back, okay? So if this is an inward-looking church, okay, where is Jesus if he's to protect their back? Outside, okay? Now, if you turn around and face out, yep. So now, where's Jesus? At the center. Okay, so you can sit down. An outward-looking church is a church that keeps Jesus at the center. We need to be careful that we don't think that the church is for us. We come to church to worship the Lord, to be empowered and equipped to minister beyond our boundaries. That's the mission of God. If it was simply to worship God, then God could have simply, when we came to faith, taken us to heaven. But the fact that we're here is to be witnesses. And that when you look at those four reasons to be witnesses, that the harvest is plentiful, that we can acquire more understanding when we share our faith, that we're resourced by the Holy Spirit to do exactly that, to tell other people, and that we should simply do it out of thanksgiving because of all that Jesus has done for us. And when we do that, we will see the church grow. There was someone in Wales who looked at the church growth from an infectious disease model, because he felt that if people were spiritually infectious, that it would be like an infectious disease. And he found that when he looked at that model, that when those within a church, when the number of people who were spiritually infectious grew to a certain number, the church did grow. It had to grow. And so that's why it needs to be about our relationship with Jesus first. Because 1 Peter 3 verse 15, that verse that challenged us to share our faith, begins with saying this here: but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. That's the first thing we need to do. Then it says that we need to be prepared at all times to give the reason for those who ask us, to give the hope that we have within our hearts. But we do that with gentleness and respect. So we stay close to Jesus, but we stay close to those that Jesus wants to reach. And we ask the Lord to give us boldness to speak the good news about Jesus to those around us. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you'd help us where we are, and to be your hands, your feet, your voice. Lord, give us boldness when we are fearful to speak about you. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, open up our eyes to see the opportunities, and help us at all times to be prepared to give the answer for the reason that we have the hope within our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be open, that when you call us to go beyond our Jerusalem, that we would be ready, and that we'd be all for your glory. We ask this in your name. Amen. So we're going to give you a bookmark as you go out, and that bookmark will have those four reasons on it that will remind you, so you can put it in your Bible. And every time you see it, you're reminded that you have a part to play. Everyone has a part to play.
Let's respond as we sing together about our rescuer.
He's our rescuer. Hey, he's our rescuer. Hey. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Hey. Oh, how grace abounds. Hey. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. Riches for the poor, he is friendship for the one.
Let us pray. Lord, today we thank you for the good news of the gospel, and thank you that you reached out to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, when we were still far off. Thank you today for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the promise of a life beyond this one in your nearer presence. And as we receive your love, help us to share it with others and open our hearts to be transformed by your life and your love. And may our church be a signpost to your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. We pray today for Andrew and Joanne and for all the work that they do in Ibba in South Sudan. We pray, Lord, for your blessing and favor on that diocese as they seek to heal trauma and to offer hope after the violence and tragedy of long-term civil strife. We pray that they would know your strength and support as they try to support the community, and we ask that you would be with them in all they seek to do. Lord, in your mercy. And as we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble, we pray today for all who are sitting important exams in the coming weeks, and we ask you to be with them and their parents and teachers in times of stress and anxiety. We pray today for all who are running the Belfast Marathon and for all the charities that are being supported by the run that they are doing. We also pray today for healing and peace in the lives of those we know who are struggling. And today we lift those who are particularly on our hearts to you in a moment of quietness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And we join all our prayers together in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as we prepare to go out into the world, we're going to move on in our slides to that prayer that we say as we prepare to go out into the world and to seek to offer to God our lives and all that we are in the week that is to come. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And during the singing of our closing song, we're going to receive our offering this morning. And we're going to sing a song that prays for God's power to be at work in the world. Revival.
Sure as gold is precious and the sweet. So you love this city and you love these streets. Every child out playing by its own front door. Every baby laying on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer dreaming in their dead end job. Every driver riding. Spirit, feel it in my bones. You're gonna send revival, bring them all back home. Well, I can hear the thunder in the distance.
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Don't forget, as you go out today, Andrew and Joanne would like to speak to you as you on your make your way out, and they have a special gift for everybody, just as a little reminder of the things we've been thinking about today. And as we think about all that we've been sharing today, and we think about how our lives are going out into the world, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.